Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
This evening, we've got a special treat for you. This morning, I shared on spiritual warfare. I'm not sharing on that this evening. I want to encourage you to get the teaching online or get the CD next week. But we just looked at it within the I Am Revival series or theme that we've been doing at what is spiritual warfare and, you know, how do you do it and all of that. And so I encourage you to get that because you'll learn something. It's not your typical message. But this evening, we've got two for the price of one special. So we have Darren who's going to minister, and then we've got Lucas who's going to minister to us. And they've really, you know, just over the past week or so been preparing. And just, I believe what God's put on their hearts is something really significant. You know, Darren, both of them have been through Bible school and received the word, full of the word. Lucas was at Caris Bible College in England. And, you know, so they're full of the word. And now it's just an opportunity for us to squeeze them and get something out of them. And so I want to encourage you to open up your hearts to receive. I know both of these guys, and I've spoken to both of them. We've spent a lot of time together, and I can assure you that there's something for you this evening in what they've got to say. You know, even for the guys who are on the camp, Darren might repeat himself a little from what he shared on the camp, but you'll get something new out of it, I promise you. Just listen. Just open up your heart. Listen to what the Spirit's wanting to say through the speakers this evening, and there'll be something for you. It's really going to be good. So, Father, I just thank you that as Darren comes up and starts off and just shares what you've laid on his heart, I thank you that it's going to be profound, Father, that it's going to be such a blessing to every single one of us, that even those who are watching on live stream, that they're going to be blessed, Father, that they're going to learn something new about you, Father, about them, that they're going to be encouraged, built up, refreshed. And I thank you, Father, that we're all going to walk out just with something that's blessed us in Jesus' name. We open up our hearts to receive, Father. In Jesus' name.
Good evening, everyone. Sure, it really is bright up here, hey? So for those of you that don't know me, I'm the loud one at the back. You know, Darren. So in thinking of what to share with you guys and just how the gospel has really like just had an impact on my life, that all got sidelined over the men's camp because there was just so much more that came out of it. And for me, what really stood out from the men's camp, and is what I'd like to just hammer on a bit tonight, is just that we're all children of God. You know, we were men at the men's camp that were old, young, all walks of life. And the thing that really unified us was the fact that we were children. We were co-heirs of God because of what Jesus brought to us. You know, we're no longer trying to prove something to God. We're receiving and we're just enjoying relationship from what Jesus gave to us. So some of you that might not know, I am from Pretoria. Probably explains a lot for some of you now. But, you know, the loud, proud, happy guy that you guys see in front of you wasn't always the Darren that's here now. You know, I was a Darren that had a very bad, negative self-image. I suffered quite a bit from depression. There was only a short stage where I actually took medication from it. You know, there was a lot of things that didn't quite go right in my life. I had my dad and my mom at the back there, raised me up in a Christian home, but I never received it. You know, I had a moment of walking in that and then turned my back on it. My other mom in Pretoria, you know, life was just hard for her, and it had an impact on me. And a lot of the time, I actually held God responsible for it. The thing that I really struggled with was, if God is sovereign, how is he good? And if God is good, he can't be sovereign. If he's in control of everything, then how do bad things happen? You know, and if he's not in control of anything, then is he relevant? And I remember the first time I came to Grace Life, Greg invited me and I was new to the Cape and I didn't know anyone, so I kind of entertained his notion, I've done the church thing before, I've given my life before, I've heard what pastors have had to say before, but I really wanted a friend. You know, I was kind of tired of being alone and huddled up in my room playing computer games. And so I thought, okay, I'll entertain Greg, I'll come for a Sunday, you know, then I could say I've done it, and hopefully we could still be friends, but not have to join him at church. And I came the first Sunday, and it was actually quite a mixed feeling that I walked away with, because Shane was speaking about how far can you take grace? If Jesus is grace, how far can you walk with Jesus? And that just struck a nail within me, and I was just like, this really, like, I wanted God to be a good God. I just didn't know how to relate to that. And Shane was saying that, so I was kind of offended because I kind of blamed God for everything bad and, you know, remained passive. And it's like, well, I'll just end up where God wants me to be. So what's the point in trying or striving or anything like that? And but at the same time, I was just like, when you prayed to, like, who wants to get born again, my arm shot up. And I was like, no, bring it down. And Glenn saw it and Greg saw it. And then, bam, got born again, baptized in the Spirit again. And, yeah, so my walk kind of started there. But it was in Bible school where I started seeing the fruit. You know, we as Christians say this a lot, but I started seeing the fruit of being a Christian. And it really hit hard for me that it wasn't something I could try and manufacture. There wasn't like this 5-step plan on how to be a good Christian. You know, do step one, you'll exhibit A fruit. Do step two, now you exhibit B fruit. You know? And you'd kind of think, if it was only like that, you know, then I can do my thing, God can be happy, and I can go sleep. But it's not. It's really just stems from that relationship. And Bible school was that awesome time. Yes, this is marketing for Bible school, just in case you haven't noticed. But it was just an awesome time to get into the Word consistently. You know, and I was, you know, I was just told, hey, do Bible school. Greg was also twisted my rubber arm with that one. And just being there, putting that consistent time in the Word, at the end of the year, I realized that there was so much baggage that got dealt with. I started smiling naturally. It wasn't a mask I was trying to put on anymore. Because, you know, when you're coming from depression, you don't want to ostracize yourself from social interaction, but you kind of don't want to be there either. It's a weird thing. So you have this mask, I had this pretended laugh. I had smiles that I had to put in front of people just for that acceptance. And eventually what it made me do is it made me seek man's approval. It really comes from, let me smile, how are you doing? I'm good, how are you? And then they're like, no, it's good. It's so nice to see you doing well. And it affirms the mask, you know. And so what I really want to just hammer on and focus on tonight is Romans 8, verse 15. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we can, and I'm adding my own brackets here, get to call Him Abba Father, Daddy. And I want to emphasize adoption. This is what made me feel like, you know what, I am family with all of you. I am a son of God. I have all the promises God has for me. Because adoption isn't something like, whoops, you're part of the family. Now we love you. We have to. You know? Adoption is a choice. It's consideration. I mean, even in modern day adoption, it's a thing. You know, the parents get interviewed. Will they look after the kid? Is everything all right? You know, the parents come. They check out the different kids. You know, almost like a pet shop, but just more love. You know, it's like, I like that one. He looks friendly, you know. And I was like, if God adopted me, imperfect, you know, I lived a stupid life. You know, I shared quite a bit of that yesterday. You know, needing people's approval, dating, drinking, you name it. You know, anything to add a bit of value and to make a connection with someone, but at the same time not wanting to. So, you know, at a club, you don't need to talk to someone, but you're with them. And this adopted, I researched quite a bit more. And in the biblical times, in the Roman Syrian law book, I'm going to read for you a law about adoption. It illustrates this passage of the epistle. It lays down the principle that a man can never put away an adopted son, and that he cannot put away a real son without good ground. So a real son could be disowned. An adopted son could never be disowned again. Everything that Jesus had as a real son, we have because we're adopted. And we can never lose it again. Adoption cannot be undone. When this was written, it was written with the understanding that adoption is permanent. God must have known this. I mean, he's not confused about his intention. So when he came to adopt us, he was like, you know what, Peter, I love you just as you are. I want you to be my son. You know, nothing else. It's not like, well, Carl, you know, you kind of didn't read your Bible this morning. So I think I'm going to disown you as a son for now. You know, please try again tomorrow. There's none of that. My dad's sitting right there. I've done lots of stupid stuff and ignored a lot of good advice. He still welcomes me home every night. You know, I hope. but there was a part of me that was kind of like, okay, but if God chose to adopt me, why? You know, I know me. You know, I know the real Darren inside, you know, obviously thinking of the old creation. And what really blessed me was then Ephesians 1 verse 5. Having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It gave God pleasure to adopt me into his family. It gave him pleasure to adopt every one of you into his family. For no other reason than love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. You know, if we go into 17, not to condemn anyone, but so that everyone may be saved. There's no alternative motive than love. What does love encompass? It's not your effort anymore. Any of you that's part of a family that's married, have children, has parents, you know, you might get angry at them, frustrated at them, want better for them, but you still love them. How much better is it for God, who is a good God? You know, that solved so much for me. It's just understanding, I am a son. I can make mistakes. I still make mistakes. I'm not there, but I've lived. You know, it's an awesome journey. So, you know, letting that seep in, it changes your perception. It's, you know, we have a responsibility, obviously, as children of God, for how we represent God, for being ambassadors. But even if I slip up or come short, God has got my back. There's nothing else. And so this really resonated with me. And just going Old Testament, I know it's scary. In Isaiah 59, verse 6. Can we get that up on the screen? The web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Can we go to the next one? Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. their thoughts and are thoughts of iniquity and wasting, and parts are in their dis. Well, anyways, we read there. Further down, I think it's verse 9. Correct me here. But it eventually speaks about that God sent his right arm because, is it 20? Sorry, verse 20. So we could see how we were, all the shortcomings that man had, all the negative emotions, all the wrong things we were doing, and God knew we couldn't be perfect. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them to turn from their transgression, and Jacob saith the Lord. Am I missing something here? Wait. Isaiah 59. Anyways, I'll research that again. Is it? Maybe the NLT says it a bit different. Is it 16? There we go. Sorry about that. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Our Father is such a good Father, he sacrificed his own arm to bring us righteousness, to sustain us. You know, how is that not a good dad? A parent will naturally want to protect their children, regardless of the situation. That's the God we have. Send Jesus, his right arm, so that we can have relationship with him, so that we can fellowship with him, so that we can experience what it's like to be a son of the greatest, the creator of the universe, you know, a limitless being. And so if you want to know why I can smile and chirp from the back the entire time, and what the reason why I can rejoice in the Lord always, in Philippians 4, verse 4, is because exactly that reason. It's because I am the Son of God. And all of you are children of God. And Son isn't only for men. It's referring to your inheritance that you can have. Woman, you're just as much included in this as we are. You know, it's not just a men's camp here. So I really hope that just encourages you. Like, if there's any area that you are struggling in your life, you know, it's a part of identity that you're lacking to receive. Understand, you're a child of God. And if you're a child, I mean, Shane, would you mind standing up here with me? This is good to get it back. If Shane was my dad and I'm his son, I don't grovel and be like, can I? My dad will agree with you. But a child comes like, hey, dad, it's been a while. Whoa, you see, you come. Yes, God. Listen, I'm struggling with something. You know, can you help me out?
Sure.
It's no magic. There's no five-step plan. Be a child and come boldly to God. He's more than willing to help you. If he gave his right hand just to have a relationship with you, how much more will he give to bring you out of anything that you're dealing with? So if you don't mind, if we just bow our heads, I just want to pray for us. Sure, Dad, just thank you so much for your intense love for us. Thank you that nothing we can do can earn your love, and nothing we can do can disown your love or unearn your love. Thank you that we can just grow into being children, Dad. That, you know, we don't need to hurry for maturity. We don't need to hurry to experience anything more. We don't need to hurry for chasing righteousness. We just receive it all through being your child. I just feel that if anyone of you feels like this is really something that you struggle with, you know, please, after Lucas has shared and at the end of the service, please come up and chat with any of the leaders up here. You know, we will be more than happy to encourage you in and establish that identity. There's awesome resources at the back. rooted is really something that will get you established in that. So yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Well, thanks, Darren, for that. I also wanted to share a few things that were on my heart this week, and it really ties in with what Darren just shared, that it's all about our identity in Christ, and there's nothing that can, well, only relationship with God can reveal our identity to us. So we need to come into a relationship with God and allow Him to show us in our hearts who we really are. Because the world will beat us into shape in no time. The world will try to enforce an identity on you that's never God intended for you. The world will put you into its mold and beat you until you can't go on anymore. Like if you find your identity in your job or whatever, that can be taken from you. But if you find your identity in Christ, that's the rock that can never be shaken. And that's the thing that God wants to establish us in, because it's without an identity, we can never impact the world. We can never, if we are always insecure in ourselves as Christians, we can never make the impact in the world that God wants us to have. But if we're so bold, not arrogant, but if we just rise up as Christians and just really, like, we have an awesome Father and He wants to flow through us. So if we can just get this established in our hearts, just seeking relationship with God and allowing Him to show us who we really are. Because I know in my own life I struggled with similar things to what Darren was describing. So I had an awesome born-again experience. Like, I really experienced the love of God. But after a week or so, the feeling left, and I was, like, still in my old struggles, and I was trying to still fulfill that with, like, different things. But it's always only relationship with God can fill that void. So I wanted to look at a couple of scriptures. The first one is 2 Timothy 2:15. And if we can put it up on the screen. It says, "Be diligent to present yourself, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So that's the only reason, well, one of the reasons why I study the Bible is to show myself that I'm already approved by God. And it's His stamp of approval. So who cares what other people think? Like, we're peculiar people. We're fools for Christ. So what do we expect people to think? So if we that's the only thing we need to find our identity is in Christ and in Him alone and nothing else, not in what we do, not in our jobs, not in our, like, profession or anything else. And it says in James, in the next scripture, it says, James 1:21-25, it says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Just going to stop there for a bit. I don't want to focus on the first part. Don't want to beat you up. I just want to focus on receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So this says just receive the word so deep into your heart that just believe the Bible above everything else in life. Believe the Bible no matter what people around you say about you. They might accuse you, they might, like, say swear words at you, but just believe what God says about you and just receive it. And this, the receiving part that just talks about humility. Humility is just believing what God says about you above everything else. That's true humility. And then it says that is able to save your souls. Because, you know, when you got born again, it was only your spirit part that got changed. So our souls still need saving because we have all negative thoughts coming to us. But we need to get our souls saved because our changed thinking will change our lives. So this will save our souls. And then it says in verse 22, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So that says being a doer of the word is looking into the Bible, and that's a daily thing. We need to remind ourselves daily who we are, and then we'll walk it out, because out of our identity flows everything else. And so we can say, if we messed up or if we made a mistake, we can still come into a relationship with God and just say, Lord, I messed up, but this is my true identity. We can, there's so important that we let nothing distract you from relationship with God, and never let any feelings of guilt, shame, or condemnation or anything distract you or hold you back from, like Darren was illustrating, like coming to God like shyly, timidly, like asking for forgiveness or whatever. But it's, we just need to draw near with boldness and know that he holds nothing against us. In Romans 8 it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So let nothing separate you from the love of God. Let nothing allow to come in. No, Jesus said in John 10, let's turn there quickly. Jesus said in John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So it says that every Christian hears God's voice, but we need to make sure that that's the only voice we pay attention to, because whenever we mess up, the devil is so quick on our case with condemnation, like, oh, like, you did this again, like, you're such an idiot. But we need to... but we need to make sure that we only pay attention to God's voice in our heads. Like, just the God's given us his word, as it says in Hebrews 4:12, as a sword to divide between, basically to divide between truth and lies. So we only need to pay attention to God's truth and only listen to his voice in our heads, and don't even pay attention to any lies. We need to make sure that we know what the word says about us and not go anywhere in our thoughts where we know that's a lie anyway. Because that's the only spiritual warfare that we really have to do, is just make sure that our minds are, that we're thinking the way God thinks about us, and we don't let any circumstances come against us to distract us from the truth. Mm-hmm. And so if we know our identity in Christ, that's like, why would you give yourself to drugs or smoking or any of that stuff, like, or buying, I don't know, hundreds of pairs of shoes or trying to fill them, like, I don't know, it's whatever is your kind of, however you want to fill that void. Like, if you know your identity, if you know your worth, why would you give yourself to anything less than that? So it's knowing your identity solves everything. Because I'm still walking this out. I'm not there yet, but I know where I'm headed. But it's really, that's basically what I wanted to say, is that know your worth, that you, every one of you is worth the blood of Jesus. And it's the same for all of us. And that's how we need to see ourselves and not sell ourselves short by whatever habit or whatever. We need to seek fulfillment in relationship with God. And that's, praise God. That's really all I wanted to share. So I'll just pray quickly. Okay, yeah, thank you, Father, for a new identity in Christ. Thank you, Father, that you loved us so, so much. That we're all so valuable to you. Thank you that you know us each individually, and that you care about us deeply, and you don't hold anything against us. Thank you, Father, that you love us, and your perfect love casts out all fear. Thank you for healing in our bodies and perfect health and well-being in our soul. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. We praise you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Father. That was a good word. You know, I think there's a if you listen, there's a lot of stuff you can get out of both of them there. And one of the things that stood out for me with Darren was just the thing, once again, that your adoption is permanent. Like, you're permanently in God's family when you're in. You can't get chucked out. You know, he's dealing with you in grace, which means that it's not based on your performance, which means that you're stuck. So you know, you're not going anywhere. And then, you know, one of the things that really blessed me with Lucas was, you know, the last part there, Lucas. Where are you there? You know, where it was just, you know, if you know who you are, you're not going to give yourself to really meaningless things. You know, whatever your meaningless thing is that it is, you know, knowing your identity solves everything. And that's really the key to being victorious, is when you know who you are, is then you can act like that. When you know you're a child of the King, then you can live like that. You're not going to settle for the crumbs from the master's table, because you know you belong at the table. Amen? Anyone else want to share something on what stood out for you? You know, we have a value in the ministry of feasting on the Word. It's just a terminology we say where, you know, what did you get out of it? What did you get out of the Word? And we just take time to share it. So some of you know this. You've done it before. If you would like to share something that you got out of the Word now, just come up quickly and you can share. Peter?
Yeah, just the night that Darren got born again, I actually peeked during the altar call, and I saw his hand jump, and my spirit just jumped with that. And to see the way and the way that he's grown and submitted to the Word, it's really awesome. It's, I mean, that's a testimony in itself. And even the weekend in the men's camp, it was real lives changed by the gospel, and that's effortless. And yeah, it's just a testimony of that tonight as well. Yeah, what Darren shared about it is God's choice for you to be His child, and it is permanent. So God wasn't forced into it. God wasn't painted into a corner, and there was no way out. I mean, He was happy in heaven, but He's happier in you, because He's there for you, and He wants you to be His child. And He calls us His sons. And now, when you said God gave His arm, that sounds weird, but yeah, God gave His Son and His arm, because that is His right hand. And to me, that just made it tangible, which is really good. And Lucas, yeah, what he shared is just like, you can hear God's voice, and we all know we can, but that's the easy part. Even though you might think it's the difficult part, if you get quiet, you'll hear His voice. But then the second part, which he said, is, which really blessed me, is, but make sure it's the only one you pay attention to. Because there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of stuff in the world, and there's a lot of things that's screaming for your attention and trying to tell you who you are and who, or who you should be, or who you should try to become. Make sure that that's the only one. And with him, I mean, he's a quiet guy, but as soon as he starts speaking about the Word, there's just a lion that roars. And I just love that when that comes out, and you can see just how God's working through the anointing and through speaking and preaching. And yeah, that in itself is just, that stood out for me. So yeah, thank you guys both. It was awesome.
Anyone else would like to share? Come, Kunrad. Come, Kunrad.
Just to add on to Lucas's word, a scripture that I really love is from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, which talks about beholding in the mirror, talking about God's word, beholding, like looking at, focusing on what does God's word say about you and your identity. As you behold that, you are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. And the scripture that I shared with the giving as well, your eye, if your eye is darkened, if it's not light, if it's not seeing the truth of who you are, like, your life is going to be dark, your actions are going to be dark. If you don't see who you are in your identity, seeing that image. And with the scriptures Lucas shared from James 1, verse 22 to 23, for if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. And how often do we look at ourselves in mirrors? Like, every day, probably at least once. I hope not too often, but yeah, at least once. I hope we would look in a mirror, and then we never forget that image. We never forget that. But how often do we, like, feast on God's word and see ourselves in God's word, see the image that He sees of us? How often do we forget God's word about who we are? And listen to the spectators, listen to the world, get conformed, like Lucas said, get punched into a mold that the world wants us to be in. So just the encouragement, thanks Lucas for that, just to be focused, look at God's word, see that image, like look into that mirror, God's mirror, his word, and don't forget his word, don't forget his promises on your life and what he's called you to be and your identity. Amen.
Sure. No, I think it's really awesome, like what stood out for me from Darren and from everyone's testimony, even on the camp, was just how effortlessly they changed through relationship with God. How they got to know God, how they get to know what his true character is, and then just how they changed effortlessly from the inside out. Like Darren was saying, like he didn't even realize that after a year of Bible school, how much baggage just fell away. He didn't even, it's like, whoa, I'm changed, you know? And that was really awesome for me, and it just places the emphasis again on like relationship with God. It's not about what you do, it's about who you know. And so it was really cool. And what was awesome from Luca is what he was saying, and that was part of the key to that, was the focus. You know, are you on what are you focused? And so on. It reminded me of 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, which says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. You know, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And I like verse 4, which is, whereby are given unto exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. You know, by being rooted and grounded in the true character and nature of God and relationship with him, we have a lot of promises to stand on of who we are in Christ already as new creations. And that's by whereby we are partakers of the divine nature, which is God. And that was really awesome for me just to see that the focus and knowing who God is what truly changes us from the inside. It's not about what we do or trying to be. It's just what we know and who we know. Yeah.
Anyone else want to share what stood out for you in the message? Anyone else? Awesome. No, thanks, guys. That was really good. It was a blessing. Good job. We're going to go into a time of communion, but before we do, I just want to read a scripture, so you can even put it up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. You know, often, if you've been at Grace Life for any number of weeks, you would know the stuff that I'm about to say, but it's always a good refresher when it comes to communion. Because often, I mean, if you grew up anything like me, or if you come from a place where I've come from church-wise, then when it comes to communion, we're often focusing on the wrong thing. And so it's important to remind ourselves of the right thing, especially if we've been indoctrinated or it's been ingrained into us what to do when we take communion. Okay? And it says there in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had taken it, he gave thanks and broke it, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so he says, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now the first thing which just stands out for me there is, he says, this is my body broken for you. And so the whole reason why he went through what he went through was for you. Okay? So you were on his mind when Jesus went to the cross. That's what it's saying. But then it goes on and it says, do this in remembrance of me. So when you're doing it, you're not doing it in remembrance of your sin. You're doing it in remembrance of Jesus. Jesus and sin are two different things. You know, and yet we've interpreted this to mean in a lot of churches that, hey, now let's examine yourself. Examine your heart. What sin do you have? You need to deal with it quickly. Okay, and it says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So when you're taking communion, the bread, you're thinking about his body, which is broken for you, and you're thinking about him, Jesus. You're not thinking about yourself and your problem and whatever. You're thinking about the solution, which is Jesus. Then it says, and after the same manner, he also took the cup. After he supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Same story. You're doing it in remembrance of Jesus. And what it's saying when it says this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, it's saying, hey, this is grace. It's a grace cup, really. New Testament is grace. So he's saying, this is the grace cup for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Okay, so now you've got the body, which is the bread. You've got the blood, which is the juice or the wine. And he's saying, do this in remembrance of me.
in remembrance of what? Of what he's done for you. So that's what we're focusing on. He says, goes on, verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes." What I believe that's saying is that you're declaring his victory in your life when you're partaking. You're declaring, I mean, his death is your victory. So when you're partaking, you're proclaiming his victory in your life. Okay, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the Lord Jesus." So now it's starting to get to the place where most people misinterpret it. And it says, verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that of that cup." Now, I've been in communion services where they spend a good few minutes then giving you time to examine yourself. You know, if there's anything you need to deal with it now. Why? Because if you don't deal with it, God's going to make an example of you. And then I've heard it being said from the pulpit that, you know, he'll make an example of you. He's going to punish you because you haven't examined your heart. You haven't dealt with the sin in your heart. You're cherishing sin in your heart. You've made a mistake. You haven't repented. Zap. Pile of ash. Whatever. I don't know. I've never seen anything happen during communion. So obviously everyone's doing it right then according to their structure, but I doubt that. You know, it says, where does it say it now? Verse 29, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So it's important to examine yourself. You have to examine yourself. The scripture's saying examine yourself, but then it says that you need to examine yourself so that you're eating and drinking worthily, not unworthily. So you've got to look at now, what does it mean to eat and drink unworthily? Okay, if you're eating and drink unworthily, you're not considering what it's representing. Okay, and what happens when you're not considering what is it symbolic of? When you're not considering what you're doing, then you're eating and drinking damnation on yourself. What does that mean? It goes on and it explains it. "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So, you drink and eat damnation to yourself when you're not discerning the Lord's body. When you're not discerning, what does this mean? Okay? "And for this cause, because you're not discerning the Lord's body, and as a result are having damnation upon yourself because of you, not because of God, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep or die." So, this is the only passage that I know of in Scripture which gives a reason why there's people who are sick in the church. Why people die prematurely. And it's for this cause. What's the cause? You're not discerning the Lord's body. You're not considering what you're doing. And it's not saying that because you're not considering, God's saying, you know what, Etienne didn't really think about why he took communion this morning, so I'm just going to make him a little bit sick. You know, it's not talking about that. What is it talking about? It's saying, hey, you didn't consider, you got sick because you live in a fallen world. And you didn't partake considering what it meant, and so you stayed sick, or it got worse. That's what it's saying. And so when you partake, you're supposed to consider. It says in, 1 Peter 2:24, "By his stripes ye were healed." So what's his body for? His body is for your healing. That's why it says there, "He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." What is the damnation? It's sickness. What is the damnation? It's death. Okay, that's what, in context, that's what the damnation is. When do you experience that damnation? When you don't consider the body. When you don't think about the bread and you're just like, oh, this is a little bit small today. I don't know why they broke it so small. I mean, that's not going to do you any good. I wonder why they use this biscuit and not real bread. You know? It's not about the bread, guys. It's about what you're thinking about. It's, where's your heart? You know, Hebrews says that it didn't profit them anything, the word, because it wasn't mixed with faith. Often, or the only time the word doesn't profit you, you don't see the fruitfulness of it, is when you're not mixing it with faith, when you're not believing in it. If you put faith into it, it will produce something in your life. If you've got sickness in your body, you can partake of communion. And there's no magical powers in the elements. We didn't pray over it. Sorry to disappoint some of you. Okay? We didn't pray and convert it into real flesh or something like that. We don't do that. It's symbolic. You're coming forward and you're taking it, and what you need to do is mix your faith in it and go, thank you, Father. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I receive that healing in my body now in the name of Jesus, and you partake. And while you're crunching in your mouth, you're chewing, and you're hearing the biscuit going for it, you're like, thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm healed. Thank you, I'm whole. And that's what you're thinking of. And then when you partake of the cup, you're thinking about what the cup represents. Thank you that I'm washed white as snow. I've been purified. I'm holy. I'm righteous. You're not treating me as I deserve. You're treating me better than I deserve. That piece of stupid I did this morning doesn't matter because you're treating me by grace. And you're just like, thank you, Father, for your acceptance. You're considering the cup. You're considering the body. You know, as we, you know, you should, I used to do communion a couple times a day. Now I don't do it so often, but the point is that it's a powerful tool for us to focus our attention onto Jesus to be able to receive from Him. And receive health and strength and life into our bodies physically and to encourage us. And I mean, you focus on Jesus, lots of things will go right for you. Just focusing on Jesus. So this is an opportunity to focus on Jesus. Can you get healed without communion? Yes. Can communion help you get healed? Yes. So all you're doing is you're coming, you're partaking. If you're sick and you're going, thank you, I don't have to be sick because of this. And it's just something physical to help you get you to help stir up your faith and to activate it. You can be healed of anything during communion. I've heard many testimonies from around the world on this. But we had one this morning, which was, I think it was our first. This is the only testimony I remember of it. Of healing during communion. Someone who was at the service this morning, I'm trying to see, I don't think they're here now, but they came to the service this morning and they came up to me afterwards and they said, you know, you've often spoken about being healed during communion, and I've never thought anything of it. I've never heard of anyone being healed during communion, so I've never never thought much of it, didn't really believe it. And then they said, you know, that they had a mild heart attack a few years ago. And so they know what a heart attack is like. And they were having all of those symptoms during the service. And they said they took the bread and they were like, this stops now. In the name of Jesus, by His stripes I was healed. And it stopped. Amen. And then they said from that, there was a long period of time between then and when they told me. And they said they're fine. Perfectly fine. Everything was fine. You could see. Fine. Not panicking, not sweating, not having pains in the arms, nothing anymore. I mean, that's a good testimony. You can experience divine health and healing just because, you know, it renews your strength, makes you strong. But it's not going to do anything for you unless you mix it with faith. So as you're partaking, it's between you and the Lord. It's got nothing to do with me. Praise God. It's you and Jesus. You and Jesus saying, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I've got this because you've provided for it. So I'm just going to enjoy it. I'm just going to receive. The Christian life is not about trying to get something. It's about just receiving. Discovering and then just taking hold of it. Receiving it because it's yours. Amen?
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168. Or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.